Wait, there she is. Yes.
The minister asked me to say something about the caroling at 3 to
yep.
bring with the baskets.
Yep.
So if you want to just give me a nod.
Yep, I need you and I need Debbie. And do any of those Sundays look good for you in January for liturgists? The 16th, the 23rd, or the 30th? Can you do the 16th? All right, Suzanne. I know. Yeah. I don't know. They probably want it on the microphone. So I need to have Debbie Darling and I need to have you come up. Okay. I think so, yeah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome on this beautiful morning. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, huh? Finally, outside. Okay, start off with announcements. I need to have Deb Darling and Suzanne Hickson come up. They have something each one to say, please.
Yeah. This is just a little token of appreciation for everything that you do for us. So this is a little thank you, not just for what you do on Sunday, but a lot of behind the scenes and different days, and we know that we can count on you, and we truly, truly do appreciate it. So we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and say thank you for everything.
And today at 3 o'clock, we are going to be going, as our church family, we'll be going caroling. We're going to be taking fruit bags in gift bags to our shut-ins that have not been able to come to church in a while. Now, I have a few people that volunteered. Cheryl is one of them, but Cheryl doesn't sing, so I told her to stand way in the back. So you don't have to sing, just show up, because I don't sing very well either. But we'll put the minister out front, because she's got a pretty good voice. And then the rest of us will just be bodies there. So come and join us 3 o'clock. It'll be a lot of fun.
And Liz is going to be there. We'll make sure she's up front.
Oh, okay. Okay. Two people up front, and the rest of us are all and mouth the words. We have words.
Okay, that sounds like that will be a lot of fun. Announcements here. Shirley Davies remains in the hospital. She's asking for prayers. Ron Potter remains hospitalized, and I believe he's down in Florida. Bob Stoliker is in the hospital. Nancy Markey. So please, everyone, remember our folks that are in. I know visitation is real difficult. A lot of the hospitals are just completely banning visitation of any kind. So hard on the family, the friends, and very hard on the patients. We all know and feel the big hole here in the church left by the passing of Dale and Crystal Barber. We have a memorial bouquet on the organ in memory of Crystal. And please keep Ann and Ted and their families in prayer.
Amy, I stopped over and saw the kids the other day, and they just want us to know that they are so appreciative of all of the prayers and the calls and the texts. And I definitely instilled in them that we are their home church, and this door will always be open to them. And they said that they will keep the same house at their mom and dad's house. It's an open door, so when you see cars in the driveway, please stop.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, because we all know they're longtime members, and Crystal is a lifelong member of this church. Started to play the organ here, I believe she told me, at age 10. She would do a little piece on Sundays as a little girl. So we know that they're a big part of the church, a big part of the community, and our hearts go out to the Hacker and the Barber family. We have several real nice Christmas cards here. One from Vera. Thank you to the church family here. We have one here from the Caring Health Clinic. And another beautiful card here from Edward Jones from the branch team, Dave Everhart, Renata Brown, and Melinda Nutzman. And we thank each and every one for the beautiful cards. Upcoming meetings, please. I know it's end of the year, a new year beginning. We've got people going off boards, people coming on boards, people remaining on boards. We thank the off-going people. We pray for the oncoming and the people that are staying on as we go about the business of the church. And anyone that's going off a board, your service is very, very much appreciated. And just because you're off the board doesn't mean we might not pick your brain. So you're never really truly off the hook. Finance and church council, we've just got a little bit of a change of date. It's on January the 18th at 5:30 and 6:45. So please, you know, make a note of that. Our Thursdays at 10, they continue to meet. Anyone's welcome, male, female, and you do not have to knit, crochet. You can just come for fellowship. Grief Share is Monday, 12:20 at 5:15. Our Advent Bible study is still going on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. 11 o'clock. Choir practice, Wednesday, 12:22 at 4 in the afternoon. UMW meeting on January 6th. The trustees meet January 4th at 6:30. Red Butterflies, ladies, get ready. Monday, January 3rd, meet at Pizza Hut at 11:30. And our organist, of course, is Melissa Ogden. So we've got poinsettias decorating the altar from Rosemary Ellis in memory of her husband, Ray, and Pam Lambert in memory of family. We've got an upcoming food pantry on Wednesday the 22nd at Melvin United Methodist Church. All financial gifts for the church must be in the offering or office by December 26th to be counted for the 2021 year. And our office will be closed for the holidays from January 24th to January 1st. Email and telephone and all of that, of course, will be monitored. Our birthdays this week. We have Tammy DeMott on 12/19. Lori Priest on 12/20, Janie Wyneth on 12/21, and Linda Schramm on 12/22. So let's sing happy birthday to all of these people. Oh, one more. It's you. Okay. Okay, Ardan, are you going to tell us how old you are? No, she's 21 anyways, guys. Okay. One wedding anniversary coming up this week. John and Kim Norton on December the 22nd. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. Our mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Sue Platt will be bringing us our morning message, and my name is Amy Henderson. I am the worship leader this morning. As our ushers come forward to light the candles, please ready our minds and our hearts for worship. Mm-hmm. We also want to remember this morning that Jacob Starks is graduating from MSU with his master's degree in criminal justice, and he will be graduating this Friday. So congratulations, Jacob. Our first praise song this morning is number 3096, entitled Gentle Shepherd. Please stand as you are able. This is our fourth Sunday of Advent. We will be lighting all four candles on our Advent wreath. And here to help me with this is my husband, Ivan.
This comes from Micah 5, 2 through 5a, and Luke 1. Through 39:45. Sometimes when we are trying something new, or when we are facing difficult decisions, or when we want to celebrate something, or when we just feel lost and alone, uncertain about life, the universe, and everything, we need a blessing. We don't always think of it that way, or word it like that. We say we need advice, or support, or companions, or someone to come along beside and lift us up again, so we can see more than the tops of our shoes. We seek a blessing.
For many of us, we go home, we ask Mom, we talk to Dad, or we talk to brothers and sisters, close friends, those we grew up with, those who know us best. We want them alongside. We want them in their presence. Somehow, we know that being there, being home, will make all things better. Maybe it won't be fixed or solved or wished away, but at least we will not be alone. We seek a blessing.
Mary, faced with an incomprehensible burden and gift, ran to Cousin Elizabeth's house, looking for someone who knew a little of what she was going through, looking for a place to hide until the reality of her condition could become something real. And she received a blessing. The prophet Micah spoke of a blessing coming to an unexpected place, an unassuming town, yet by God's grace would become the means through which God would bless the whole world. Bethlehem, the little town of blessing, we seek a blessing.
We light these candles, the candle of hope, peace, joy, and today's candle, love, as a sign that we know blessing and we know waiting for blessing to be felt and lived. We light these candles as a sign that we will seek a blessing. It's time to go home. So we have candle one lit, the candle of hope. We have number two, the candle of peace. Number three, our candle of joy. And today's candle, our fourth candle on the wreath, is the candle of love. We now have a hymn, number 2090. We are only going to sing verse 4, and it is Light the Advent Candle. Call to worship. Congregation is printed in the bulletin, and congregation, please respond to the boldface type, and if you are able, please stand. My heart praises the Lord.
My soul is glad because of God, my Savior.
His name is holy.
He shows mercy to those who honor him.
Let's pray. O Almighty God, by the birth of the Holy Child, has given us a great light to dawn upon our darkness. Grant, we pray, that in this light we may see light. Bestow upon us that most excellent Christmas gift of charity to all, so the likeness of thy Son may be formed in us, and that we may have the ever-brightening hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 234, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Lord,
You may be seated. And as I look around, there are no children in our sanctuary this morning. I have heard from several of the families. They are having some Christmas today. And after all their program and activities, they said, we need a break. They did such a wonderful job for their Christmas program that we're bringing back a few parts on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. So if you missed the Christmas program, you will be able to have some of that given to you, but you have to come on Christmas Eve at 7, and we'll hear from our children again. So today, I have a couple gifts that I was going to talk about, and I'll tell the people on the air that are listening and those children that are listening to the message this morning. I have two gifts. One gift is wrapped in brown paper bag. No bow, just brown paper bag. The other one is nicely wrapped Christmas paper with a Christmas bow. And so I was going to ask the children, so I'll ask you, if you were going to have a choice between one or the other, which one would you choose?
The one with the bow.
The one with the bow and the Christmas paper. All right. I'd give this to you, but it's actually Jim's present that will go under the tree. He doesn't know that, but he does now. Merry Christmas, dear. Well, why wouldn't you want the one with the brown paper with no bow?
It's not as pretty.
It's not as pretty, is it? It's not very inviting. So if I had children here, I was going to pass the brown paper bag, so I'm going to pass it to a few, and say, what would you want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? Continued good health for everyone.
Continued good health. Amen. Amen. Since I'm up by the choir, I'm going to pass it to a couple choir. What would you want for Christmas?
Peace on earth.
Peace on earth. Another amen. Miriam? What would you like for Christmas?
Good health.
Good health. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Did I hear my name? No? Okay. All right. What would you like for Christmas?
All my family to be home.
All your family to be home, and Aaron's here. Woo-hoo! We're getting there. All right. Welcome back. It's good to see you. Good to see you. You never judge a book by the cover. I can tell you after Christmas, Jim may say this is a better gift than what he's getting. But who knows? I have to leave him in suspense. So what do you bought you, Fred? What do you want for Christmas? You don't need anything. Bless your heart. Well, is it okay that I open this gift?
Sure.
All right. So we're going to open this gift. And those that didn't want a brown paper bag may want these. Ghirardelli Square. See, you can't judge
a book by its cover,
can ya? So I don't know if I can even get this open. So let's see if I can open this. I don't know how many pieces are in here because I didn't look. I wrapped it before I looked. And I think they're all wrapped inside. So Merry Christmas for helping me out. Merry Christmas for helping me out. There you go. I don't know if I have one for everybody. However, you never know what's inside.
That's true.
However, you know, in the babe came in a trough. Except choir, you can't use it before choir because chocolate's not good on your voice to sing. You have to wait. So, baby Jesus didn't come with all the wrapping, did he?
No.
Or a bow. Or all the excitement of, you know, a tree and other presents. He came in a lowly barn. stable, lay down in a trough. It wasn't about the being material and having the best of all best. And I'm going to use this. He was the sweetest, get it, sweetest child given to us. So I'm going to put these rest in the back. Whoever gets there first gets them. Let's pray. Here you go, ushers.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
And now our choir is going to sing Christmas Grace.
The stars in the heavens.
Thank you so much to our choir. That's absolutely beautiful. Our second hymn of preparation is number 2095, Star Child.
Prepare. We're going to go to our Lord in prayer. This week we pray for Pizza Hut. Remember those that we are lifted this morning, especially the Barber family. Let us go to God. Almighty God, in this joyful season of Advent on this last Sunday, as we light the candle of love, hope, peace, and joy. With our hearts praying for peace on earth, goodwill towards men, for good health, for everlasting hope. We pray, Lord, that you hear our prayer and have mercy on us. For those that continue to suffer from the tornadoes that went through, especially Mayfield in Kentucky. But all around throughout the nation, the disasters that seem to continue to happen. COVID rising, people dying. We have so many in the hospital, Lord. We come before you on our knees, praying that you will heal, that you will provide that peace, that you will give us hope and help us to hang on to that hope, to remember the precious gift of Jesus Christ and his love for us. And to be able to pass that love on to others. Lord, when we fall, when we're short of the glory, when we fail you, when we fail others, pick us up, forgive us, and help us to move forward with the joy of the Lord in our heart. To celebrate the reason for the season. Lord God, we ask that you guide and lead us as individuals, as a church, that we may be blessed to be a blessing to others, that we can find that our doors are open because our hearts are open, that we can come before you and not be anxious or in fear. But to come to you with love and thanksgiving. So, Lord, we pray for this church and this community, for all of those that are named in our hearts, and for our nation that it may heal. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And a note that from the children's area, I missed a prayer last week. This week's prayer is, I got representative on student council at school, signed by Riley Moore. So when you see Riley, tell her congratulations. That's great. That's That's wonderful. Star Child, let's remain seated. 2095 and on the screen. This morning I'm going to ask that you stand for the gospel reading of Luke. Please stand as able. Chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now, may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. This week, I titled the sermon, "Like a Child, to Find Peace, an Earth Child, Giving Us Hope." But as I progressed in my sermon delivery, I really think it's more about being blessed. The story of Mary and Elizabeth. Mary being told that she will be with child by an angel, Gabriel. At such a young age, maybe 13 years old, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for you will bear a son and give him the name of Jesus. He will be Lord, Messiah. Now, Mary's pretty afraid to tell her parents, and I would be too, especially at 13. Although in that culture, they conceived much earlier than what we do now, hopefully. Mary's to be with child. She hasn't told Joseph. She hasn't told her parents. What do I do? And she thinks of Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was in, I have to always look at this name. I just lost it. Sorry. She has to go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is in a town that's very small, a dot on the map, but it's about 9 or 10 days away. 9 or 10 days away. She's now pregnant and is called in Karum or Karim. On a hill, just a few miles outside of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, probably less than a day or an hour's walk. Still a long way, but Mary is 80 miles from this town where Elizabeth is. Now, I'm sure she told her mother, I heard that Elizabeth is pregnant, and I should go and help take care of her. I mean, she's young. She can do this. And so in that day, she would not have been sent by herself to a place that is 9 days away. But she goes with a group, and the mom and dad take care of making sure that she's going to get there safely. But she still holds a secret. She can't tell anybody, because if she does, she could be stoned to death because she's not married and pregnant. If Herod found out, he could kill her. So I'm going to travel. Now, we've been studying this book called The Journey by Adam Hamilton, and this week our Bible study is on Elizabeth and Mary. Adam says in his book nothing about a relationship that they may be relatives. But even in our reading this morning and our Advent wreath, Derek Weber, who is a pastor in Indiana, says that this is the cousin's house. And we have heard in Scripture that John the Baptist, who Elizabeth is pregnant with, is Jesus' cousin. Therefore, I'm assuming that Mary and Zechariah, her husband, are relatives. And so she's seeking out someone who is older, maybe would mentor her, would help her with advice. How do I tell Joseph? How do I tell my parents? And she goes 9 to 10 days travel to see Elizabeth. From this book, The Journey, it says that they were very close, that they had a great relationship, and that's probably why she wanted to go for some advice. Elizabeth, would you please help me? Tell me. She hasn't told Elizabeth that she's pregnant. And she gets there and knocking on the door and yells out, Elizabeth, it's me, it's Mary. And Mary comes and greets her. There's a few parts of the Bible study that I'd really like to read to you. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the child leaped in her womb, which our scripture test says. And Elizabeth, did you catch this? Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaims a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But she also says, why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Elizabeth is the first one to let the world know in the Gospels that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. She's the first one that exclaims it. as Mary is at her place. And her child, John the Baptist, leaps and kicks her in her womb. There's a love connection there. There's a love from Jesus Christ. There's a love from God our Father, who has given both these women the opportunity to be pregnant. Because you see, Elizabeth was older in age and not able to conceive and not have a child. Yet Adam says maybe she's had many miscarriages and is ashamed to even let anybody know that she's pregnant in fear that she may lose a child again. And so she hasn't told anybody. She's been kept at home. And Mary comes to help take care of her. How did Mary know that Elizabeth was pregnant? How did Elizabeth know that Mary was pregnant? I believe it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I thought about naming that as my title, the power of the Holy Spirit, because it is so incredible to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Mary and Elizabeth see each other, and I can imagine there's hugs and tears and joy in that greeting, as well as the child inside of Elizabeth jumping for joy. Jumping for joy, because the Lord has come to visit. The Lord has come to visit. Jim and I went to see the movie The Chosen. It's a Christmas movie. It's not out everywhere, but it's about the story of Mary having her babe. The Son of God. In that time, in this movie, it's kind of like a concert. They have lots of people singing, but then they get to the story. And after, in the movie, after Jesus Christ was born, Mary sings her song, the Magnificat. Also in the movie, later on in her years, her daughter comes and is at her home. And Mary says, I have to tell you this. You have to write it down and go and tell Luke, because Luke is telling her story. And she reads her, or maybe sings for her, the Magnificat. Now in other stories like The Journey, it doesn't necessarily say it was right after Jesus was born. In this particular book, it says after she has seen Elizabeth and has gone to her house, she feels so blessed that she sings out these words, the Magnificat. I don't think it matters where or when Mary sang her song. The point is that she sang her song praising God, and these are the words found in 46, chapter 1, continuing on, 46 to 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary is so thankful. Thankful that God is using her to bring into the world the Son of God. And she wants to glorify him. Praise his name. It's not about being fearful anymore, but from nation to nation, people will bless me. Excuse me. I read in a couple different commentaries a little bit about Mary and Elizabeth's story, and I just want to share a couple quotes with you. This wonderful story is a quote, tells us that our lives are to be as pregnant as were Mary and Elizabeth, with the expectation of the transforming experience of God's grace. We should be like Mary and Elizabeth as they were pregnant, expecting that there will be a transformation in us, in our experience, from God's grace. See, grace is a gift that we can't earn, we don't deserve. Grace has to do with the Lordship, with joy. It means salvation, it means mercy, the essence of God's faithfulness, God's love. We lit the love candle today, also known as the angel's candle. Another commentary said, people look backward rather than Godward for inspiration. Let me repeat that. People look backward rather than Godward for inspiration. Mary and Elizabeth are two great examples of women in the Bible who are filled with the Holy Spirit, servants and humble, ready to serve, because Mary said, Lord, may it be to me, as the angel told her she would be pregnant. Here I am. Let it be to me. Two great examples. And they give us examples of community and connection with one another and with us. As we think about Mary and we go into Christmas Eve this week, can you believe it? It's already here. Let us remember how much Mary had to endure and what she went through for such a young age. But how blessed she is. And to have a mentor like Elizabeth who could help her process through all of this. Do we have that with one another? That connection, that community? I pray we do. That we can seek each other when we need advice. That we can seek each other to encourage the older to the younger and the younger to the older. Because I believe Mary helped Elizabeth because she stayed there until Elizabeth gave birth. And I believe Elizabeth helped Mary. And just a note, where they were, where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, Joseph wasn't so far away. And Mary had to tell Joseph. I can't imagine. But Mary glorifies God in this beautiful song called the Magnificat. May we be like Mary, like Elizabeth, loving one another, glorifying God for all that he's done for us. And may we enjoy the best Christmas gift ever, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your son. We thank you for Mary being so willing. And for Elizabeth and her encouraging words to this young woman. That she would continue to give us the greatest gift. In your name we pray. Amen. The ushers come forward for a morning offering. Please stand as able. God, we give you our thanks with our offering, with ourselves, with our souls, that we too glorify you and praise your name in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our closing song is Little Town of Bethlehem. As you go forth this week, I pray that you will hold Mary and Elizabeth in your heart as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, 3 o'clock caroling today, we're going to go and spread love to our shut-ins. Please come and join us. And then Christmas Eve at 7 and at 11. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.